If you've been following me for a while, you'll know that studying the Jungian archetypes has been such an integral and favorite part of my journey in both my personal life and professional career. When we connect with our inner feminine archetypes, we can discover the truth about who we are, what drives us, and what has kept us stuck in repeating patterns. Whether you identify more with the lover on one day or the wild woman the next, what is certain is that every archetype lives within us and is activated at different stages or periods of our lives. But wouldn't you just love to know exactly which primary archetypes you're embodying the most right now? This is why I've put together a free assessment for you to take, where you will discover which of the 7 divine feminine archetypes you are currently working with and embodying the most in your life. You'll learn exactly how to work with that archetype, how to evoke that archetype to achieve your highest potential, and which archetypes you have left in the shadows and where your healing work really lies. The assessment takes less than 7 minutes to complete, with a full report waiting for you right at the end. So to access that and get your full report now, follow the link in the show notes or head to melwells.com/archetypes-report to receive yours, and let me know which archetype you're embodying the most right now. Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome back to Love, Sex, and Magic for a very special episode. This is the new After Dark series. So every now and again throughout the podcast, we are going to throw in a little After Dark episode. And that's going to be a bit of a roundtable feel with me and a couple of my closest friends. And basically, we're just going to chat about all the things that we talk about when we're not usually being filmed. So we share so much in this conversation. We go down so many different paths. We talk about relationships. We talk about what we're currently facing in our lives, the challenges that we're currently overcoming. We talk about sex. We definitely get juicy. And this episode is definitely a lot more uncut than all of the rest. So today I'm joined with two of my absolute best friends, Alexandria Womwell-Povey and Sahara Rose. So get yourself comfortable and enjoy the show. All right.
Let's go.
Love, Sex, and Magic After Dark episode. I'm excited.
A little bit nervous as well. I'm like, where is this going to go?
I mean, I have no idea. Let's see.
So I'm just going to ask the question that's obviously on every single person's mind right now.
The question on everyone's lips.
Everyone has been asking you in your comments. I don't know if you've been seeing it, but what is pregnant sex like? We need to know.
When you say everyone needs to know, you mean
it's
you need
me,
to know.
Me, myself, and I. Like, how do you do it with the belly and the booty? Like, what is going on? What's the situation?
Yeah, I just want to know, less horny, more horny. Right. Like, where's that?
Yeah, good question. Yeah. So I think, okay, first of all, pregnant sex feels a lot like just normal sex in a bigger body. Okay. Sorry to disappoint. I thought it was going to feel like I was, like, my baby was, like, being, like, hit by something. Cool. It doesn't feel like that at all.
I'm glad that's not
it. Just feels normal. It feels very normal. And we, like, Googled, like, you know, is it okay to be having, like, lots of sex during pregnancy? Yes, it's totally fine. Yeah. I mean, I feel like our position is quite maybe, like, different to most people that are pregnant, because we're still, like, a very new couple. Mm-hmm. So we're, like, wanting to have a lot of sex.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe if we had been together for, like, I don't know, XX years, like, maybe it would be less. But I hear that, like, in the first trimester, it's, like, it's normal. I've experienced this as well, to be, like, oh, everything makes you feel nauseous, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, there were, like, times where, like, I just didn't want to be kissed, you know? I just, like, can you just not kiss me, can you just not touch me as much? Mm-hmm. And it was like, apparently it's like a biological thing of, like, women's bodies recognize the mating has been done, mm-hmm. and now it's time for the men to leave and go out and hunt, and we just look after the baby type thing in that first few months. So
you've done your job, away with you now.
That is how pregnant sex is currently, although I will say that
I've been dealing with a couple of UTIs recently, which has not been fun. Mm. And that is apparently like a pregnant thing, a thing that happens with a lot of sex during pregnancy. Mm. So yeah, that's the lowdown.
Okay.
So when the belly is big, like how are you going to make the positions
I don't know,
work?
Babe, like sideways, yeah. Sideways. I imagine that's going to be a lot more uncomfortable and probably a lot more weird.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I didn't think about the big belly part.
Probably like sideways. Like
he can't be on top. I think
he
could be
definitely
on top.
Couldn't be on top. I could be on top, but I don't know if that'd be weird for him. Like this massive belly.
I think doggy's gonna be good. Like all
doggy
fours.
Could work. Yeah. Doggy could work.
Yeah. I mean, people give birth in doggy.
They do. Mm-hmm. I've been watching a lot of birth videos. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of doggy videos. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I've just got an image now. Does it not kind of ruin the sex image a little bit though when it's like birth and doggy, putting them together?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like for me, I'm mixing two images in my head I don't want to mix.
Yeah. Although, if we were trying, like, what I'm aiming for is, like, an orgasmic experience in the birthing process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
True. Mm-hmm. I've heard it helps things move on as well. A little roll in the
it does.
Last
it
year.
Does. My doula said to me that the same hormones that make a baby are the same hormones that get the baby out.
Mm-hmm. My mom, who has never told me this until very recently, said that she was having orgasms on the way to the hospital while giving birth to me.
Girl.
And she doesn't do like any kind of like orgasmic work, but it was just naturally happening to her.
Like without your
dad? She was like almost like couldn't control it.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So
and she was like almost like embarrassed because she needed to go to the hospital. I'm like, okay, so it's in my
from.
Genes.
Yeah.
I'm like putting my order into the universe for that. That sounds amazing.
Maybe it was like the way that I was positioned, it was like causing her clit to rub on something. I'm not sure, but so it's possible.
You were born into the world with so much joy and so much pleasure. I love it.
I love that. Yeah. So what's like something that you guys are experiencing right now in your personal life? Because obviously like I'm going through like a big, big change, big initiation into like motherhood and pregnancy and being in a new relationship, which has like got its own challenges and things that I'm experiencing. Like, Alex, tell us like some, like a real thing that's going on in your life.
Okay, I'm going to move away then from my dog shitting in my bedroom earlier because that felt very immediate for me.
Oh, babe.
I'm going to zoom out a little bit more. I think the biggest thing right now is like, I feel like I'm going through like another death and another rebirth. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this actually happens quite a lot. Like I think sometimes we think like it's just like these big pivotal moments in your life. But I think like a lot of us move through them quite a lot. Mm-hmm. So I feel like at the moment, that's really alive for me. I'm just like really aware of like parts of myself that I'm kind of like letting go of or shedding, but also like stepping into in like a really exciting way.
What are you letting go of, would you say?
I'd say I'm letting go of a lot of like people pleasing, friendship still, which I didn't think, I thought I was kind of over that phase of kind of the shedding, but... Round two, three, four, whatever I'm in. So I'm going to do that. And then like in my business as well, you know, just like reassessing the way I want to work and who I want to work with and things like that. So I feel like for me, everything's so like intertwined that it doesn't tend to happen just one area of my life. Like it tends to like spread across everything when it happens.
Do you mean like it feels like when you're going through like a rebirth in your business, you're also going through that in your relationships?
Yeah, I feel like it actually probably starts... Where does it start? Chicken and egg. I don't know where it begins, but it definitely like goes into both. Mm. Like I'm definitely like reassessing how I show up to everything. And like Jake's, as you both know, in the desert right now, so I can't speak to him. He is fasting in the desert. And even that, you know, like not speaking to him, I'm like realizing, oh my God, there's so many parts of him that I want to know more about. Because we're always together and I'm always speaking to him, but like how often am I actually having those like bigger questions that I want to ask him? And like, yeah, just, you know, the casual death rebirth that seems to keep happening, but in a good way, in a really good way.
That's so sweet. You guys have been through like a lot of death and rebirth over the course of 7 years, is it?
Yeah, a lot. Like a lot of like meeting each other again.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why it feels similar, because it's like, I haven't spoken to him at all and he's been through this big ceremony and this big journey and this big process by himself, like truly by himself. then it's like meeting him again as well at the other side of that, and helping and supporting him and any shifts that he is like feeling or experiencing, and just being really open to it as well. I think that's the biggest thing, like not trying to pigeonhole him into whatever version of him went to the desert, just like being like, okay, so if he tells me that he wants to, like, I don't know, start a desert fasting business. I'm just gonna have to roll with it. I'm just gonna be like, you go, babe. Amazing. Can't wait to support you. Epic.
Oh.
So, who knows? But yeah. What's life for you right now?
Yeah. Well, I love that's so beautiful. And Jake inspired my husband, Steven, to also go on a fast.
Stop. I didn't know that.
He did a 4-day fast at home. So basically they decided to be accountability partners, and Steven was going to do a dopamine detox, which is like 24 hours of no phone, no music, no books, like you're just in your being, and no food. So they both did that last Saturday, and then Steven was like, well, what if I just go another 24 hours without eating, and then another and another and another. So he did 4 days and is going through his own portal and his own journey with that, which is so interesting, because I at the same time was at like a festival, which was all about like community and the feminine. So it's interesting, like that masculine path to spirituality, which really is about letting go of all desires and detaching yourself and being in the silence and being in the stillness, versus the feminine, which is all about like the music and the dance and the community and the emotions, and both are pathways, and they're just different.
It's like the men want to take away everything and like have less and less and less and less.
And it's like gives them so much to do that. But then he's like, why don't you do it with me? I'm like, there's no part of me that wants to be without music for one day.
It sounds so unappealing to me.
It's so interesting though, like all women who I speak to about this are like, fuck that. And like all guys are like, sign me up. Like, how do I do that? It's so true what you said. Like, I think we're more drawn to like pleasure and joy.
We're like more, and they're like less.
And the guys are like, strip everything away. Take everything from me.
I just want nothing. Just me and God.
Right.
What's going on in your life at the moment, babe?
Yeah, for me, it's been a lot about, you know, I built this business that grew super fast, Dharma Coaching Institute. So I went from like kind of being more of like a solopreneur, like I had an assistant and I kind of just did everything myself in my business, to like all of a sudden there's like 27 people on the team and there's like so much stuff going on, and it's just like grown massively. And there's just like a lot of figuring out, like figuring out team, figuring out communication, figuring out roles, figuring out expectations, relearning about myself, because especially when you build a personal brand, it's like you don't want to let go of any control, because it's your brand, it's your face, it's your words, as especially as an author and podcast host, where it literally is our words and our essence. But then it like limits your growth. So I've been like, my constant thing that I'm relearning about is, I feel like I can't trust people. I feel like I'm not supported, and then manifesting situations that make me continue to feel like I'm not supported and I can't trust people. So it's like the ultimate, I feel like starting a business is the ultimate like personal growth of seeing those shadows and those unhealed parts of yourself being reflected back. And, you know, I know with your team, you have so much trust and support. So I know it's possible, but it's just like dating. It's like, you date a lot of people and you have to have a lot of conversations and figure out what your dynamic is going to be. So right now it's at this place that there's like just a lot of moving pieces and chefs in the kitchen and just like figuring out how's this going to work so I can be in my visionary role.
Love that visionary role. That is so you, babe.
I mean, that's the role that we're meant to be in.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I feel like there's just so much that goes into like building these businesses, building these empires, these teams, that like no one really knows how to do. You know, we're just kind of figuring it out as we go. And, you know, something that I've always found really interesting is like the way that we go about that really plays a huge, like really makes a huge impact on our romantic relationships and our sex lives. Because it's like, if we are in this kind of like control freak mentality, in this kind of hustle, like entrepreneurial kind of, I must do everything, and there's so much to do, and I just, and we create more and more all the time, right? It's like, where's the space for like pleasure and like downtime with our partners, and like when can we like allow us to be in the more receiving state and in the more surrendered state? And yeah, I feel like it's something that I I'm often speaking to my clients about, and I'm just curious to hear like how your experiences of that have been, like recently, like how it's been before, how it is now.
Yeah.
Like, how do you find that balance? If there is there even a balance, or like?
I know I really, really struggle with it, like massively. I think going in that, like you said, that headspace, but that building space, that more masculine energy, and like ultimately, like, you know, we've all had it when shit falls apart. Like, we have to pick up the pieces. Like, it's your business. No one's there to save you. Like, you have to save yourself. You have to get shit done. But when you're in that energy too much, like, I've definitely seen it in my relationship then too much. And then not giving him, I think that's been the biggest realization recently, where I wasn't even giving him space to be in his masculine. Mm-hmm. You know, I was so busy in like fix it, sort it, get shit done mode that I wasn't even giving him space, opportunity to be that person. Yeah. And actually, I can't remember who said it. I don't know if it was Sammy or you or someone said it, but like this whole like lean in at work, but lean out in your relationship. And like actually allowing some space to have that receiving come in. And I know that, yeah, I've definitely struggled with the receiving side of it as well. And it's been interesting recognizing that and then realizing like, where's that translating in my business? Where's that translating in my friendships? Where's it translating in everything? And just having to build more comfort with receiving. And honestly, I'm still on that journey at the moment. Like, I still get a bit like, no, I'll do it myself. I can do it all myself. Like, to actually just allowing myself to just soften. It feels like an energy of softening and being like, it's okay, it's safe to receive, it's all right. So yeah, I definitely feel like I've been on a journey with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That feels really like present for you right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still navigating that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it never ends. Yeah, so... You know, sometimes I feel like we make ourselves wrong to be like in our masculine of like, I'm so bad. I'm in my masculine. Like, I suck. Like, why aren't I orgasming during my launches all the time? You know, and it's like, you, when you're in your business, you do need to be figuring shit out. You know, it's like you can't just totally be like, you know what? I'm just going to like let it happen as it is. I mean, you could, but it probably isn't going to be the way you want it to be. So I feel like that like stage one is kind of, and I've heard David Data talk about this as well, but when we're just in our whatever assigned gender role, like men just in their masculine, women just in their feminine, or, you know, maybe non-binary people actually skip that. And then you go into like the other side of like, I'm only going to be in my feminine. I'm going to do my business in my feminine. Everything's just in my feminine all the time. But then that third is like the integration of both, of having a really healthy relationship with your masculine and a healthy relationship with your feminine, and not making either of them wrong. And also that it takes time. You can't just like jump from one to the other. It's like foreplay. You need to massage yourself into it. And sometimes it's just not going to happen right now. So this Saturday, like, I don't really like scheduling sex. I just feel like sometimes it puts pressure in my head, but then it sometimes just doesn't happen if you don't schedule it. So we're like, okay, Saturday, we're going to do what we call a sensorium. We're both sensual erotic blueprints, which you guys have taken the quiz. So both of us like really love like just touching each other and like just being in that sensorium energy. So we're going to have a sensorium on Saturday. And then he got food poisoning after breaking his fast. So,
oh my God. Yeah. That was like, he shouldn't have broken the fast.
Exactly. Because he like went straight into like keto after that, which he's not used to.
Bless.
So it didn't happen on Saturday. So it kind of moved into Sunday, but Sunday I had a webinar, and then I had a photo shoot, and then I had an Instagram live, and I was just like, so in my masculine. And then he's like, okay, come to bed. I like lit some candles. I'm like, the last thing I want to do is come to bed. Like, I need to take a walk. I need to just like decompress from everything that just went on that day. But then I had that pressure in my head of like, well, this is your chance. Like, it's Sunday. It's going to be the week. And then you're going to forget. And he's like, on this weekend. So like, you need to make it work. And it's like that old like conditioning of like my college self of like, you need to have sex right now because that's what he wants, you know? And I'm just like, no, I don't. Yeah, I'm married to him. Like, he's going to be here tomorrow. Like, he's not going anywhere. But it's that conditioning of, if I don't make him happy and give him sex, like, I could lose him. Like, that's where the mind goes. But I'm like, but I don't want to. So I'm like, okay, let me see if I take a walk, and then if I stretch, and like, can I get myself to open up to it? And then I was just like, I genuinely, no, it's not what I want. So he's like, well, just come to bed. I'll just like give you a massage, which is so sweet of him. And I could even feel like my body like resisting it, or like me being in my head and not being present for it, or like wanting to talk about it. I feel like the feminine, we like want to talk things out, and he's just like, be in your body, don't be in your mind, which was just annoying me more. But then finally it did allow me to drop in, not for sex, but just to have that like connected time with him and to just like receive, like to receive love. And I feel like so many of us, I mean, especially like when you're single or if you're in a relationship that you don't receive love, it's like as baby, as a child, we need that. We need that kinetic attention and that that just like dropping in and feeling held and supported by someone, especially as an entrepreneur. So I'm glad that he not pressured me, but continued to invite me into his space. So I was finally able to drop in, and I felt so much better after.
I love that story.
Yeah.
It's interesting what you were saying about like the scheduling of something that is so feeling based and intuitive and embodied and natural. It's like, it's almost like trying to make space for the feminine by scheduling in is like doing like a masculine thing to get it in the calendar and then expecting us to like just be in our feminine energy like that on command. Yeah, it is a real journey of like integrating the two. I would say really like for me over the last few years, at the moment, I would say I'm more struggling with finding that like inspiration for divine masculine energy. I would say I've like really relaxed, really surrendered, really been in receiving mode for a long time, and kind of almost like now I'm like, oh, I feel like I don't get as much done these days, you know. And I know that's like in many ways that's a good thing, because I am just like doing a lot of just being and a lot of living, and like there's a lot going on in my personal life, and obviously I'm pregnant, so I'm like creating a baby. But there's definitely been like times for me recently where I'm like, gosh, I want to be creating more. I want to be doing more. And I feel like I almost like can't go back to who I was when I was all in my masculine and all in the doing. It's like I just can't go back there. I've got to find like a whole new way of bringing that in more. And I think for me, it's got to be through creativity, you know? I think if it's just like doing to do, I'm just like not wanting to do that. But if
and
it's
I think
like
your hormones shift creative. So much as a mother, you know, that it's like your body is like, this is not the best use of my energy to just be like doing things for the sake of it. I need to actually be minimizing. And I've heard a lot of mothers too saying it helped their business in the long term because it caused them to really need to prioritize what mattered. Whereas when you don't have that, like last night, I'm like, let me look up podcast analytics for like 2 hours at 1 a.m., you know, because I can. But is that, did I need to do that? No. You know, I just felt like it because I'm a Capricorn, you know.
See, that's the thing, like, I would just never even have that thought cross my mind. Do you know what I mean? I don't, like, I would like to have more of those thoughts cross my mind, but it's like I don't even think about that.
Right.
But do you also think, like, maybe you've just found a new way of working and going back to that old way of working is just, like, outdated for you now? You know, it's not, like, wrong or right. It's just upgraded. Yeah.
I would just say I just need to find more. Like, I think a lot of people are, like, wanting, like, striving to get more into the feminine. And I feel like I've kind of gone, I feel like you kind of swing all the way. And then you swing all the way. And then you're like, okay, where's the middle ground?
So before my spiritual journey, I remember in India praying. I'm like, please put me in touch with my masculine. Like, I need to figure out the business stuff, the money stuff. Like, how to, because I was, like, living in huts for years. You know, so totally I made that shift into like now I still really at this stage like being in my masculine and my doing and all of that, because I know it's like a period of my life where I'm just like going for it. But I think it's like this constant pendulum that we're in. Like you shift a little bit this way and then that way, and you might go through a phase in your life that like after your son is born or maybe a few years later that you're like have this surge of creative energy and to do. So I wonder how much of it is like the intention we set around it versus like astrology and hormones and all these other factors.
Yeah, I'm with you as well, though. I think it can be quite empowering to be in your masculine sometimes. Just like I was saying this to you earlier, I was like, Jake's away, and actually trying to take over that side of things where I have like let myself sit back a bit more and get back in my masculine. I'm quite enjoying it. I'm like, I'm just going to get shit done. Like he's going to get back and all these things are going to be done. And I'm just like, I actually quite like some of that energy, but I do agree with you. I think it's like a, it's like a dance, isn't it? And like, as well, I think sometimes we're too zoomed in on it being like, almost like looking at our day or our week, like, have we balanced our masculine and feminine that day, that week? Like, you know, when you're going through this journey of motherhood, I think it's a real opportunity. Like, we get to zoom out and realize, like, this is a journey over our life as well. So just like there's waves where you're in your feminine asking for these waves of masculine, then there could be a wave of masculine, then there's another wave of like the feminine, the motherhood, like all these things just coming coming into balance throughout your life as well, not just in like your day or your week.
I could see that. I can see that totally. But it definitely does impact. Like, I noticed this in my last relationship, when I was like a lot more in my masculine, and I noticed that it really did impact our relationship. It was like hard to connect, hard to have those intimate moments as much, or almost like without them feeling like planned or even like, I don't want to say forced, but it was just like, oh, we should do this, so let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Rather than it feeling like the most natural thing ever to just kind of be led into.
So how do you feel like you've like found that balance of moving away from that?
Oh my god, I mean yeah, it just like came up for me in the ceremony that I was in, that like I was pushing, and it was actually something that I inherited from my mum, that she inherited from her grandma, from her mum, sorry. And when I kind of realized, oh, I actually don't have to prove myself to anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, who am I actually trying to prove myself to? Mm-hmm. And I realized that a lot of my pushing was coming from a place of, like, wanting to prove my worth and using my work as a way to prove my worth. And so once I healed that and I was like, oh, my worth is actually in, like, how big my heart is and how good a friend I am and how I am around my family members and, like, just the way that I take care of others and myself and just the way that I show up as a human. And as soon as I kind of went, oh, like, that's actually who I am. I'm not Merwell's the personal brand. Merwell's the teacher of this, that, the other, whatever. I was like, oh, that's actually not me, you know? Like, like who I really am is just this soul. And as soon as I kind of really dropped into that, it's like a lot of the energy around the pushing and around the hustle just kind of melted away. So that was probably the biggest shift for me.
I love that. Even like listening to that, my body like relaxes as you talk about, and you're like, oh, that realization. And
I
think that's like when I was saying earlier about going through this like death, I feel like that's part of what I've experienced recently. Like, there was this big financial goal in my business, and my coach actually asked me, she was like, do you even want this? And I like burst into tears, and I was like, I don't give a fuck. I honestly don't give a fuck about reaching this financial goal. Like, I really don't care. Like, what's so much more important to me is like, am I happy? Am I inspired? Am I feeling good? Am I like inviting more ease and flow and creating transformation the way that I want to create it? And it was that kind of realization moment of, and I think it's so easy to get caught up in. I think, you know, in a really amazing way, there is a lot of like result sharing in the industry, which is incredible, and I love it because you get to like cheer people on. But then I think it is, I know that I'm newer to this industry than you both, and I think sometimes you can get into that without even realizing, that headspace of like, oh, I need to do this to prove, you know, I'm a good business coach as well. I was coaching around business, so like you feel like your business results have to be in a certain place all the time so you can present that forward.
But that goalpost is just never ending.
That's the thing.
Like,
you know,
where does that ever end?
That's
you know?
The thing. Like, it's just the hamster wheel. And then it's almost like you're back in the corporate hamster wheel, you know? It's that climbing the ladder, constant motion that just doesn't end.
Yeah.
So
I definitely noticed, like, when I was in that frame of mind of like, I need to get to this place because then I will feel better about myself, I will feel like worthy, or I will feel like successful or whatever. I definitely noticed that, like, when I was in that place, I actually had way less time for my health, my girlfriends, my family. Like, I wasn't getting back to my family, you know, like I was like leaving things on read all the time, unread all the time. And just like, I was always thinking to myself, oh, when I've like got to this goal, then I'll like spend more time with my friends and spend more time just having fun and spend more time like taking care of my health properly and all these things that I kind of put on the back burner because I was like, work, 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 you know? And then you kind of realize, shit, like, time's gone. Time's like gone, and like, I can't live this way, you know? We can't do that.
Completely.
And I think it's seasons, you know? It's like sometimes you're in your summer and you're creating a lot, and then sometimes you're in your winter and you have the fall and the spring, and you know, it's like, I'm sure you've seen with like TV shows and launches and so many things, it's like, sometimes you're just in it and you ride that wave and you can create so much, but then you need to balance that out with the rest and seeing things from a higher perspective and even asking yourself, is this the goal that I have? Like, do I actually care about this launch? Do I actually care about this business or whatever project that I'm working on? But sometimes we recreate that exact environment that we escaped, like a corporate hamster wheel environment, because we just don't know anything else. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then again, you think it's when I hit $10,000 a month or six figures or seven figures, multiple seven figures, eight figures, and it really just doesn't end. And I think what matters most is what is your unique definition of success, mm-hmm. and being really clear on what that looks like for you right now, and then putting that on the altar and setting everything else up after that.
Mm. I want to know what yours is then. I'm interested in this.
My personal, you know, for me, I don't even start working until 1 p.m. every day.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I go to the gym, I dance, I go to dance classes like three times a week. I go to a lot of like events and festivals and that kind of thing. So even as I'm creating, I still have that. So I think my next level of success that I would like is for my business to be able to be managed without me. So I can be able to go for like a vacation with genuinely trusting that things will be taken care of right now. So it's like great that I definitely have the time and space to take care of my health and the things that matter, mm-hmm. but I still definitely am needed in the day to day. So that's what it would look like to get to this place that I could just be like focused on channeling the next iteration of what's to come.
Love that for
I
you.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see that for you big time. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I mean, I know from my astrology chart that my Jupiter is in Cancer, and Jupiter is the planet of success. Mm-hmm. And so whatever your Jupiter is in tends to be how you define success in your life.
Okay.
So Cancer is the family mm-hmm. and the feminine. And so for me, I've always felt like in my work life and in my career, I've always felt like I can do as many things as I want. I can achieve blah, blah, blah. But like, I'll never feel truly successful until I have a family and until I know that I'm like taking care of my family. Mm-hmm. And so for me, like the times in my life where I feel the most successful is never actually anything to do with work. It's like, I've been able to like support my parents in like moving to Costa Rica, and like now they're like having the time of their fucking lives, living on the beach, just like exploring. And it just makes my heart, and I've literally never felt more like successful, to be honest, to be able to like facilitate them like retiring and like selling their house in England and moving to Costa Rica. Like that for me feels like, holy shit, like this is what it is. And you know, it is not that I've, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm like, it's not like I've, like I haven't even bought myself a house, you know, like I've got myself a plot of land in Costa Rica, but it's like, I've not done that from like, tons and tons of abundance is what I'm saying. But it was like a super priority to me because it's how I relate to success.
Yeah.
So that was like a really big thing. That is a big thing for me and how I feel successful. And then also I think me having my own family feels like, I mean, God, it feels scary to be honest, guys. It feels scary. But it also feels like this is what I've wanted for so long. This is how I have always felt like success really is like, for me at least, like being a mother of children, like a family, like having my own family, I've always like felt like that is for me personally like a mark of success, which is, but I put that down to the Jupiter in Cancer thing.
I love that.
Because that is like I was saying, like before I met Sean and before this whole pregnancy journey started, I remember saying to like myself and friends like, yeah, I can just like keep creating things. I can get keep working and like I can keep like growing my business. But like I feel like what I'm really ready for is a family. Mm-hmm. What I'm really ready for is like motherhood. And now it's here and I'm like, I miss creating things. I want to create more. Where's my creative spark gone? I need to do more. Mm. So it's, yeah, it's a learning journey.
Mm. I'm so emotional.
I love that. And since I've known you, you've always been talking about being a mother, and that was always something that you were so certain about, that a certain switch happens that you just like know this is time, and then the perfect circumstances manifest for that. So I know that you're exactly where you need to be.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah.
And also, thank you. All that amazing energy that you already put into your family, like to get to extend that out and to grow that is just so like so beautiful. Mm-hmm. You're already gonna be, yeah, you already are the most amazing mom, so I just know you're gonna be even, yeah, even more incredible.
Thanks, babe. Mm. What's your definition of success?
What is my definition of success? I honestly think to be happy. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually really simple for me, and I think it's gone through all these ups and downs. Like when I was younger, it was so tied to like achieving and like outward metrics and things like this, and it's just become more and more stripped away, and now it's just to be happy, and that can look like anything and everything, and it will shift and it changes, but as long as I'm happy, I'm happy. That's like there. I feel like you could take so much away from me and I'd still be good, you know? Like, I think, yeah, happiness. Number one.
Love that. So as we're on Love, Sex and Magic, I usually ask my guests, like, what is something that you love right now? What turns you on? When was the last time you experienced magic? But instead, I want to ask you ladies, like, what do you want more people to know about love?
So I think a lot of people in relationships, they expect that person to, first of all, having your definition of what you want in a relationship, I'll say, because there are some couples that they do everything together and they're together all the time, every single day, and that's what both people want. And I think sometimes we think that that's what it's supposed to be. Like in my relationship, me and Steven really have individual lives as well. Like he works in the music business and has a whole host of different friends who are not really my core friends. Like I can hang out with them, but for us, that really works. And for both of us, like our entire relationship, which also 7 years, we have the same birthday, guys, Alex and I, by the way.
Yes, so that is wild.
We're like going through whatever we're going through at the same time. So we like found our men at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? But so much of our relationship, truly our marriage is so easy. And I think it's because we radically accept that you're going to do what you need to do, whether it's related to your dharma, whether it's related to your friendships, and you can't control that. So I think so much of relationships is just pure acceptance and loving that person as they are right now without your interpretation of how they need to be.
I love that. And yeah. I love that piece about independence. I think that's so... Mm-hmm. Did you find that easy to navigate, or is that something that you've like purposely cultivated in your relationship?
I mean, at the beginning, I actually found the picture where I manifested him today. I was like looking at it earlier because I drew a picture of him and like everything about him. And he literally is that person off of the paper, except he doesn't salsa dance.
Yes.
I am trying.
There's always time.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love this.
But, you know, even before I was like, okay, I need a conscious man, you know, who like does yoga and meditates and has a man bun. Though Steven is growing a man bun now. Hallelujah.
Bring on the man bun.
But then I was clear that that wasn't the person that I wanted. So with Steven, it was just like, I knew I wanted to be with him. And it was a challenge that it was like a totally different culture, you know, an EDM culture. And I'm like in the hardcore like yoga vegan culture at that time. So it was like a figuring out of like, then who are our friends in common? Like, what do we do together then? But over time, I feel like both of us have opened up to each other's worlds a lot. That like we can go to, like I'm going to Ultra this weekend, which is a rave, like his world. And then he also comes to, like he came to your birthday, like met so many incredible people, including Jake and people he's friends with today. So both of us, when we even started our relationship, were really figuring out our purposes and really starting our businesses and at the beginning. And I think that acceptance of like, we can't go to dinner tonight because both of us have like stuff happening and we're so excited about this and it takes up a lot of our time. So we would be like next to each other. We didn't even have money to go out to restaurants at that time. So we would just be working on our laptops next to each other. And I think so much of that helped both of us, you know, get to where we are. So this, but the struggle of that is still today of like, okay, then when do we make time to spend time just with each other without like the incredible things that we're building out into the world? So, so yeah, I would, you know, I feel like so many issues in relationships do come from that, like in my mind, I'm still trying to change you. And that's just never, it's, you're never going to change someone.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
So true. Yeah. I think there's a lot of pressure, in our industry, when it comes to relationships, to like this conscious sacred union. Yes. And like,
my twin flame has arrived. We're in yabby yam all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's actually for me, like when I left my last relationship, I was really clear that I actually didn't want to be with someone in the same industry as me. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not going to date any coaches. And I actually said no to like a few dates from people in the in our space because I was just like, nope, I'm really clear that I
don't want to do that. Yeah.
Too much processing. But also like the pressure for it all to be public. Yeah. And I think my last one was so public because we were both coaches and teaching about all the things that it put so much pressure on everything. And so I love that you and Stephen are in completely different worlds. And, you know, I'm experiencing a lot more of that now with Sean, you know, and it's really refreshing to not be like in each other's worlds all the time, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I think it even brings that polarity of like you have different experiences in your day and you get to come together and talk about them versus if you're like working with each other and have the same friends and all the same experiences, it can be hard to turn off that work switch into that romantic switch.
Mm. I'm so with you on this. Like, I really like the polarity and I really like having different worlds. And I actually remember when Jake said he was taking a coaching training, I was gutted. I was like, please. I was supportive, but I was also like, please don't become a coach, like a full-time coach. I was like, please don't do this. Because I think it's nice to have that different space, that different energy. And yeah, I think there's also, how do I articulate this? I feel like they can teach you so much more actually by not being the same as you, mm-hmm. by actually having a different perspective and a different take on the world. I think you actually learn so much more mm-hmm. than someone who is like a yes man and who is just so in your world with you. Mm-hmm. And then you both just validate each other all the time. You're like, yes, you're so right. Yes, you're so right. No, you're so right. You know, you never get that space to actually zoom out and like hear and see and feel different perspectives. Mm. So yeah, I'm with you. I think like having that difference and that polarity and that space is really beautiful.
What do you want more people to know about sex?
Yeah, so I tried to start watching Euphoria last night. Have you? No,
I haven't seen it. I watched one episode from the background while Stephen was watching, and I'm like, I just don't need this negativity in my life.
Yeah, what is it? This is how I felt. And like, I wasn't sure. So last week I was running a retreat, and I was in this amazing sisterhood energy, and like, I didn't know whether my energy is still a bit sensitive, mm-hmm. but I'd seen loads of people talking about Euphoria. And in the Pilates studio, they'd be mentioning they're doing a Euphoria focus, like, theme tune, like,
yeah, it's class. Such a thing right now.
Yeah, it's such a thing. So I was like, oh my God, I gotta watch. I'm pretty basic. I love things like this. So I was like, I'm gonna love Euphoria. Yeah. Oh my God, it's like so dark and twisty. It's about mm-hmm. like drug use, but like they almost like glamorize like really hardcore drug use. But the biggest thing that I found really jarring was it's a lot about teenagers having sex, but a lot of it was like all the guys like circled around each other and looking at the naked photos of the girls on the phone and calling them a slut. And like there's this scene in the first episode where the guy goes to like choke the girl and she's like, what the hell are you doing? And they kind of play on it saying like, this isn't as dark as you think it's gonna get this scene. And he does pull away and says like, oh, sorry, I thought you were into that based off something that the guys had said earlier. But for me, it just felt like such a reminder that there's this whole like scene and image of sex that's so based on porn and so yeah. based on it being an act and so based on like this, like mm-hmm. being it. And I think just knowing that there's so much more to it, there is so mm-hmm. much more to it. And it's such a beautiful thing that can create so much connection. It can be so healing. And yeah, I just think that the images that we've been taught to have around sex are so unrealistic and so yeah. so baseline, but in a way that really writes out the women. I think the yeah. women have been really written out. And I even think men have been taught to have sex in a way that actually isn't the most pleasurable way that no, they could be having sex
totally.
Either.
You know? And I think there's also like this idea that like the harder and the faster and the kinkier the sex, the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's actually not true, you yeah, know? Like, yeah. I think to, like, it's like some of that kind of sex, and it's, like, if it's not with someone that you're, like, deeply emotionally, mm-hmm. like, in tune with and, like, in love with, then, like, all of that is just, like, so surface level and almost, like, you just feel used afterwards. You don't yeah. even feel, like, that deep. You don't even really get that much pleasure from it. It mm-hmm. feels like, wow, I'm being, like, banged in this, like, really aggressive, yes. kinky way, but it's not, like, there's not really a connection, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, massively.
I mean, both worlds coming together. That's
excellent.
That's where like have been the best mm-hmm. sexual experiences for me is like the love and the emotional intimacy with all like the dark, like erotic mm-hmm. side and all the different kind of pushing you to each other's edges and mm-hmm. but like not one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sense of safety needs to be there. And without that sense of safety, woman, we can't open up. Like for us, having mm-hmm. sex really is an opening and a blossoming that takes so much time. And yeah, I mean, that show Euphoria is the number one show in the US, maybe even the world right now, which is so crazy because it's so dark and sad. And it's so much about like women sleeping with like their best friends and she's sleeping with her boyfriend. And I'm like, that's what they're still putting in the collective consciousness.
That's what people want still.
Yeah. And they want that girl-on-girl drama.
That's what I didn't like either, because it felt like I understand that this is something that goes on, and maybe this is an exaggerated way of putting it, but it felt like it was just reiterating.
Yeah, we're bored of this.
Yeah.
We want something better.
Yeah, it didn't feel expansive. It felt like, oh, okay, we're living out these same narratives and this mm-hmm. same way of looking at this. Totally. I didn't realize that's where it went to, though. Like, of course she's sleeping with her boyfriend. And
then she's the one that's sleeping with the boyfriend's dad. Like, it's so multi-layered. So
I'm so curious to know, like, what it is in us that makes our culture obsessed with that, you know? Because for us, we're like, how is that the most popular thing? But it's just, like, in the same way that the Kardashians have been, like, the most popular thing for, like, however many years. It's like, people want... It's like the tribalism in us. It's mm-hmm. like the
power dynamics.
The power dynamics.
Mm-hmm. But I do actually get with Euphoria. Like, I remember there was a show when we were younger. I can't remember. Was it Skins?
Skins. Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking when I was watching Euphoria. Skins was like this British show. It was all about teenagers taking too many drugs, having too much sex, and partying too much. Mm-hmm. And I remember like seeing part of myself in that and like loving it. It felt a little bit rock star. It was like, oh my god, yeah, like I'm like drinking too much and sleeping with guys and dabbling in drugs and like all these things. Mm-hmm. But it was because I was so disconnected and so sold this lie that was what being a cool teen looked like. That was what going into like even womanhood looked like.
Right.
So, and maybe that was why it was so triggering as well, seeing it with these eyes now, being like, no, like, I don't want to live that out. I don't want my teen daughter in future to live that out. I don't want that to be the thing that we're perpetuating. And it felt like it was, like, cool, you know? And
I think when you, like, start doing more inner work and you start kind of reading the books and listening to the podcast and kind of learning about your own traumas and your own wounds and all the things, you can kind of watch these things and be like, well, that's a trauma bond. And, like... that's so toxic and like that's codependency and that's the motherhood wound playing out right there. And it's like we can kind of, you can see through it, which kind of makes it, takes the appeal way out, you know, because you're not like, oh my god, I'm so attracted to this, I want to watch this. You're like, wow, I can really see how unhealthy all of these dynamics are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think as a collective, we get to decide what we put our power and focus and attention towards. So if like all of us continue to watch these shows and then continue to do our Pilates classes of them, you know, it makes people more curious and then it shares that vibration with other people. So as an opposition to that, I love the Love Sex Goop show, which have you guys seen it? Sex, Love and Goop. Love Sex Goop.
No. What is that? So similar to the podcast.
Yeah, so similar to the podcast. Yeah. I think it's Sex, Love and Goop. But it's such a beautiful show because it shows these different couples' sexual journey for healing.
Mm.
So there's like one episode with this couple that they just don't have a lot of physical chemistry with each other. So they do embodiment practices with Michaela Boehm. There's another one about this couple that wants to have a baby, but they're not really having a great sexual dynamic. So they learn about their erotic blueprint archetypes. And and the guy who's like this like big kind of macho guy has an energetic orgasm, which they show on TV.
Damn! Get it?
Yeah. And then this queer couple who she has a really hard time with any kind of internal penetration has her first internal orgasm from a vibrator. And then they do family constellations work. And it was...
I mean, that's just...
Beautiful.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's the kind of TV that we need out there in the collective because it shows people what's possible. So I highly recommend that show if someone's looking for something.
I'm totally going to watch that because I watched the first season of The Goop and I loved it.
And
I was like, oh, I just love what Gwyneth Paltrow is up to in the world. I love that she's doing this with her platform.
I'm sorry, but I respect any woman that has a candle that is based on the smell of her vagina. I'm lying.
I don't think that's real, is it? I think that's just the name. I don't think it's actually
I don't think it actually smells like her vagina, but it's called This Smells Like My Vagina.
Either way, I'm like, I freaking love you for this.
Yeah. Great marketing.
Yeah, so bullshit. I didn't realize it didn't actually smell like it, though. I feel like you've kind of killed
it. I mean, I would buy it, but it's always sold out.
Some men might be into that. You don't know. Some ladies might be into that. Who knows?
Yeah. It would be good if it was like a custom vagina candle that you could get for your partner.
Custom scent.
Yeah. Sean is really into scents. He's like building perfumes and deodorants and he's like he's always smelling stuff and he's always commenting on different scents and he loves my scent. And he said to me the other day something like, can I just get like a candle or like a perfume or something that just smells like you that I could have. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent, but
we have
basically
a business. We have a business,
if
guys.
We had like personalized vagina candles,
yeah,
I think that would make a darn good Valentine's present.
I come over your place, I'm like, smells.
Yeah, I would put it on when you come over, babe.
I love that. When you were saying that sentence, like,
basically, all these candles smell like Mel's vagina, in case you're wondering. Yeah.
All of these candles, exactly. Yeah. I do have a lot of candles. And if you were wondering where I got them from, now you know.
Yes. It's a hint of cashmere and lavender.
Well, you know, people use their.
That is what it smells like, cashmere and lavender, babe.
You know, people use their pussy juice as a perfume during dates to attract a man.
I feel like I heard that from, was it Mama Gina?
Yeah, I think she does it. Yeah. I tried it once.
Did it work?
Did you?
I don't remember, but I remember trying and thinking it was kind of weird, but I'm like, let's just see how this goes.
I will try anything once. I'm definitely going to try that and just see what happens.
I tell you what I have tried that's like on the same vein and really works is going out on a date with no underwear on and like a dress. Mm. So like your pussy is just like open and free and just like enjoying life and not feeling like constricted. Mm. And it's almost like, I don't know if the pheromones get out, the scent comes out, but it changes the way that you feel. And I swear it does something to the man as well. Mm. It does something. Something's in the air.
I think she's got like that magnetic energy though. Like I did a workshop once and we were like feeling our energy. And part of it was like feeling her magnetic energy. And I feel like she is a magnet, you know?
Totally.
So I feel like maybe when she's like free and unrestricted, those like magnetic vibes are just like coming out. Okay, so
yeah, wearing restricted pants is like so not the vibe because it completely constricts your pussy and she needs to be free and breathe and receive oxygen. It's so important. Like some people, they go to sleep with like their bra and their underwear and it like doesn't allow that part of you. Even yoni sunning, having your yoni open with the sunlight. I try to do that however so often good. I remember and I'm like, oh, it feels so good. It's like the sun never gets to go there, and the sun is also antimicrobial. It's really good for UTIs and yeast infections. And then yoni steaming, of course, as well, is such a powerful practice.
I was actually yoni sunning this afternoon a little bit. I've been doing it a lot on my balcony. I'm like, I'm going to leave this apartment, and I'm going to make sure that I've got the most out of having a private balcony.
Yes, babe. You know? I love that. Well, I was thinking, because in the house in Costa Rica, it was perfect, because like no one was around, so you could like fully give us some time, but I feel like people can see on my balcony, but maybe I don't care, you know?
I'm just like, maybe it's like, let them have
you're
something
on your
to look
balcony.
At. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, if you're going to go to so much effort to get your binoculars out, maybe there's something you need to see.
I don't think people are. I honestly don't think people are observing that much.
I don't know. My bathroom, like, when you wee, it's like, literally, I can see into everyone else's rooms, and I'm like,
but do you stand there and look for half an hour?
No, but I do have a wee, and I'm like, can anyone see me? I still don't put the blinds down there, you know? So, like, I'm like asking for your trouble, but I'm like, anyone?
Hey guys, just want to briefly interrupt this episode to tell you about Yoni Pleasure Palace. So, Yoni Pleasure Palace is where I go to for all of my sensual and self pleasure practice needs, from yoni eggs to crystal wands. So today I want to tell you about this brand new addition, this gorgeous golden G-spot toy. It's going to help you have deeper orgasms in your self pleasure practice. I highly recommend head over to yonipleasurepalace.com. Use the code Melissa to get 25% off your entire order. That is the best discount you're going to find online. You're going to have such an incredible time with these toys. It's going to add so much more to your self-pleasure practice. All right, let's get back to the conversation.
Okay, so let's wrap this up with some magic. So when, like, can you guys describe, like, a magical experience that you recently had? Something that feels, like, really fresh. I can go first because I had one very magical experience last night. I actually woke up in the middle of the night for no apparent reason and was just, like, wide awake. I did, like, a meditation to get back to sleep. When I finally got to sleep, I had this dream and... So my dad passed away almost 10 years ago. It's like his 10-year anniversary of his death is coming around. And I used to have more dreams about my dad, like in the first few years after his passing. I think it's like a way that we like deal with the grief. It's like we like have visits from them in our dreams and we get different messages and things. Some of those dreams that I've had have been traumatic, but some of them have been good. Anyway, this one last night was basically I was getting my palm read by some medicine man, I think. And he was basically giving me a message from my dad through my palm. And he said to me that my dad wants me to build a retreat center. And it's going to be either in Costa Rica or the US. And it's going to be a 5-letter word beginning with T. Okay. And I was like, what?
Treat.
I know, I was like, what is that? And so I woke up this morning and it was just like so, it was like that just felt so comforting and so magical. And I feel like I've never been like, I must build a retreat center. It's not been on my vision board. It's not been on my dream. And now I'm like, maybe that is like a nice...
I so see that for you.
Yeah, I see, like, I 100% see this. It's so aligned, yeah. You know?
But like, I mean... I feel like I got a message from my dad, like when it's like about to be like 10 years. So that for me felt like extremely magical.
Can we hear more about what this, I know it's fresh.
Yeah.
But what would your like dream retreat place look like?
I mean, I definitely feel like it would be Costa Rica more than the US. Yeah. I feel like I would want there to be a lot of ceremony there, a lot of magic, a lot of ritual, a lot of blessings happening all over the place. And I think I would want it to be open to plant medicine as well, which is why I feel like it would be Costa Rica more than the US. I want it to feel, I mean, I've not really thought about it until this morning, you know, but it would just be a paradise, quiet, zen, tranquil, and probably like quite intimate, not too big, you know, not too like, I don't see myself buying like acres and acres and acres to build a huge thing. I think it would be fairly intimate. But
love that.
I've not spent that much time thinking about it. Like this is a new thing for me.
You need to play the game. I remember we played this game when we were trying to discover, like, I think me and Jake were trying to work out what country we wanted to live in. We developed this game in Costa Rica and it was like, what are the best parts of different things that you like?
Yes.
And we did it with countries and we were like, well, I love the food of this country and the culture of this country and this.
Yeah.
I feel like you need to do that with retreat spaces.
And I already know. Okay. It would be Bali. Like Bali, I still have such a huge part of my heart and soul
and
in Bali.
It's opening back up finally.
Oh my gosh. Can I take a trip to Bali?
Oh my God, I mean, yes, and I'm going to have a baby. So like, yes, we'll bring the baby. Like, I'm imagining like on the back of a moped with a... Anyway, we're going to make it happen. But yeah, oh gosh, I miss my time living in Bali so much. Like I'm seeing it open back up and I'm just like, my heart. But it is the complete opposite side of the world. Time zones are a nightmare. It's hard to run your business. I'm like reminding myself of like, oh yeah, Bali was difficult to live in. Like, this is why we don't live there anymore. But yeah, I feel like a retreat center for me would be like a temple space that has a very Balinese feel to it.
Oh, yes.
But like...
And like with womb healing work.
Definitely womb healing work. But like with like the kind of infused with like the indigenous culture and medicine culture of Costa Rica, I think.
Love this.
I love that.
And lots of water features and...
Sounds like a temple really feels like the word, like this temple-y kind of like...
Five-letter word beginning with T.
Is that temple?
That's six words. We can create
maybe it's like
temple without
temple.
Yeah.
Temple.
Or like something like tanto, like something in Spanish.
Yes, yes. We'll find another word for temple. Okay.
Tantra is five letters.
Ticos, you could like Costa Rican people, ticos.
Maybe a little. I don't know if Costa Rican people would like that.
I know tantra is six letters. Sorry, I'm counting the letters
in the corner here. I'm like,
it'll come in divine timing. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Maybe another dream.
I know.
Thank you.
I feel
for
like
the
a retreat center
can you give me the
is
name?
Such a natural next step for you because you love hosting retreats. You love Costa Rica. You love bringing people together. It's just like, yes, this is obviously it.
Yeah. But it's funny, before I'd be like, oh, no, that's not for me, because I just thought, like, it just sounds like so much work.
Right.
You know? But I can make it happen. Summon that divine masculine energy.
I think it's going to be easier to summon as well when you're so lit up by it, you know?
Mm.
And when it feels so alive for you. And also, you know, running a business is hard work, but you still do that in such amazing feminine energy as well. So just, like, bringing that to this retreat space. And I think if you, like, build it in alignment with that, like the energy of the space as well is just going to be so magic. It's gonna be incredible.
Any magical experiences recently for either of you?
I'll let you go.
Well, one that was like a beautiful like coincidence, which I believe there's no coincidences. I did this video and they chose a random person to come to my place and be Dharma coached by me to help them find their purpose. So it was like a random person. She had no idea who I was. I had no idea who she was.
Wow.
And so I was Dharma coaching her and I was going through her blueprints and I could just feel she would make such an amazing spiritual life coach with all of her experiences. So just right there, I gave her a scholarship and she just broke down crying. It just is like so divine that first of all, she came into my orbit. We had no, like, she could have been like a used car salesman and that's her Dharma. Like, and I would have directed her to that place, but I really believe that people come into your life for a reason. And just to know that even just this one person, her entire trajectory of her life is going to be different just for saying yes to coming to a random person's place and being coached by them.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it was so magical. And sometimes we forget too, as coaches, like, just the impact that our work has on people, and also to have the people that who would have never even known about coaching and to be able to give them that experience, who would have never been able to afford coaching, and to be able to bring them into your container as well feels so good.
That is literally incredible.
Yeah.
I think we forget that there's so many people out there that have no idea what coaching is. It's so new for a lot of people still.
Absolutely.
I'm aware my dad has no idea what I do.
No idea.
He's like baffled.
He's like, are you a guru? I'm like, no.
Well, when I go through customs, they're like, what do you do? As in like immigration in the US.
Yeah,
like,
what do you say?
Do? Like a coach. And they're
I say writer.
Do you, I can't do that. So I'm like coach, and they're like sports coach, and I'm like, I cannot catch a ball. Like, there is no way.
You could probably say consultant and they would be like, oh, okay, I get what that means.
I just say speaker now. I'm like, it's just like, it's so more. And then they're like, what do you speak on? I'm like, I don't know. And then I ended up saying last time, I was like, I'm a motivational speaker. I was like, I just don't really know how to go into this. So, but I was telling Mel, I actually got flirted with the last time I went through immigration.
From the immigration officer?
From the immigration officer.
Wow. You must have been looking good in customs, girl.
Maybe I wasn't wearing pants that day. Who knows?
He's like, what is that smell?
Honestly, it was such a wild experience because normally I get grilled and this guy's asking me where I live and I'm like, is this for personal reasons or not? And then it got a little bit weird. But I was like, I will take this over being grilled on what I do any day. But I said speaker and he was like, with that accent, I totally get why. And I was like, okay, coming on strong.
Yes. Magically, was that your magic experience?
Yeah, that was my magic experience. Praise be. No, magical experience. I think weirdly it kind of links to both of yours. But I literally just ran my first retreat last week in Tulum, and I still like can't even put into words like how amazing I found it, and what was incredible. It was so like deeply transformational for the women there. Like, we took photos of their faces before and after, just so you could see how much their energy had changed. And it was deeply transformational for them, but like, it was also really transformational for me. And like, I didn't know how much I needed it. I needed to be in person, and I needed to be also like, we were weaving in so much more magic and like spirituality and ceremony and all these parts. And I think I've maybe sometimes dampen those sides down a little bit more, or not nurtured them as much, or not shown them as much, or used them as much. And to get to be in that full like feminine witchy power with all these women, and doing like really deep work and really feeling like I was like looking into their souls, almost, you know, that kind of like real feeling of going so deep was just so magic. There was no other words for it other than magic. And seeing them create this community and this connection and the way they're supporting each other. And, you know, two of the girls are now creating their own retreat, which is amazing. And like just the collaboration. And one woman there said, you know, she's single and obviously there's been a lot of lockdowns in the UK. She said, this is the most I've been around people, the most physical touch I've had in 2 years.
Wow.
And like, it even makes me emotional now, but it's just, you know, we need that. We need that. And it's been so missing. So just being able to facilitate and bear witness to that. And yeah, I also have my own kind of realizations through it. Was felt magic is like the absolute word for it. Really magic. Mm. Yeah.
So beautiful. Mm. What magical experiences. Well, I have to say this has been a very magical experience for me. And yeah, thank you for each coming and sharing your magic in a new way. Thank you. I just love both of you so much. And it makes me like so sad to know that I'm like leaving Miami, because like you guys are the reason that I came to Miami. Like, and I can't even believe that it's like almost been a whole year. It's like, it's sad. Mm. It's sad for me. But it's, I feel like this was just meant to be. This was what the chapter was, you know?
I feel like the whole selling of the apartment was like a whole universe was like,
here it is.
Here it is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Time to leave. Yeah. Time to go.
And it's a new chapter. And, you know, this was the perfect crash pad for you to heal and nurture yourself. And like for you to be in your own womb space here.
Yes.
And now you're going to be holding that space for your son.
Yes. And we've just had so many incredible friendship moments here in Miami. You know, like going out on the boats all the time and like having our circles around here, going to Sahara's and doing various different art projects and different rituals and stuff. And Alex, you're like starting to get all your furniture in now, and just the dogs, and
don't forget drag brunch as well.
Drag brunch,
yes.
Remember that was the start.
That was the weekend when you were like, "Okay, I'm going to move to Miami."
Yes, it was the drag brunch.
I think we should go. Let's be honest. If we're being honest here, guys, it was the drag brunch.
I think we should go to end this chapter for you.
That's oh my god. Yes.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm feeling emotional again now.
Well, I think it was your birthday really that connected so many of us. Like your birthday really was this like spider web that brought together all of these different, we met at your birthday, Hella with Natalie McNeil, we got to drop in, Amber was there, like so many people. So I feel like your birthday planted the seed.
Which is crazy because I just had this like intuitive, like there's just this vision of like, this is the year where I'm going to gather a bunch of like amazing people in Costa Rica and create a retreat experience. And it just felt so needed after COVID. And I had no idea that like just a few weeks after that birthday was when my life was fall apart. And I would like really need those friendships. And like, I would honestly say, obviously I had no idea it was about to happen, but like those friendships that we cultivated are now like the strongest, are still like the strongest friendships in my life, you know, and really like have supported me and helped me through like this whole last year. So it's like a part of me knew it was like, okay, now it's time to focus on friendships. You know?
All planned out and it's perfectly in perfect way. But I think that's such an extension of you as well though. Like you do have such an open, warm heart, and I do think you are amazing at like creating friendships and genuine friendships, and then connecting other people through friendship as well. And like, yeah, you know, met my birthday twin.
Don't you think it's weird that like my two like best friends have the same birthday?
Yeah, you love January
exactly
14th.
The same. I love January the 14th in 1991.
And you're also surrounded by projectors and Capricorns.
And Capricorn.
What is going on with that?
It's the whole energy. I'm the same though. I've got a lot of some Capricorns, but a lot of Aquarius as well. I don't know. I had like three. I swear,
I'm like a 7-3. I feel like you have three and you two.
I remember I had seven in there.
Okay, we must both be 7-3.
Oh my god,
you
guys
are both 7-3. Seven is like the adventurer wants experiences, and three is like perfectionist. Business.
Oh my god, I definitely have three.
Seven is like, is seven the enthusiast as well?
Yes.
Seven okay.
Eight is the challenger.
I'm an eight. Yeah.
Ooh. Challenger. Creating the new paradigm, building the new world.
Rebel. Yeah.
Aquarian energy.
I mean, obviously.
Obviously coming in
I think I'm an 8-1.
What's one?
Yeah, one is the reformer. Mm. So it's about like integrity and morals and kind of, I think that's, but then the shadow is like perfectionism, which I don't relate to.
I'd say you're strong on integrity though.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like a core.
That is. My mum's a one. And I think like I get my oneness from my mum, but I definitely am more of an 8.
And you care about social like justice.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm definitely more of an 8 than a 1. Mm. I'm an 8 than a 1. Definitely not a 1 than an 8.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what yours is.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds pretty spot on. I swear I had 3.
Yeah,
you have 3, you'll probably be 3.
No, as in like I had 3 numbers though. Because I think mine have multiple percentages. Wings.
Yeah, I think my 3rd is a 3 now. But okay. But when I took the test for the first time, like maybe like 5 years ago, I was a 3.
Mm.
But then after I healed all that stuff, which was about like around my work and my worth, then I'm not a 3 anymore.
Right. So it shifted.
Because 3 is the achiever.
Yeah, I feel like I'm my 3 because of my work, but if it wasn't for that, I would just be a 7.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah,
maybe I've lost some of my 3 this year then with everything that's gone on.
Do the test again.
Maybe that was the shedding I was
I know. This conversation, I'm like, I need to sign up for a retreat after this. Like, fuck. Like,
no, I'm gonna take that. Yeah, I'm gonna take it again. Work out what I am.
Sean's a 3.
Is he?
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know if I see 3 in him.
No, I don't see that in him.
No, I feel like he's like so chill and happy and like...
I'll tell him to take the test again.
Yeah.
The girls don't believe you.
Yeah.
Are you going to have him on the podcast?
We were talking about this earlier, weren't we?
You're like, kind of just like, meh. Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier. It's like, yes, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want to do it so publicly again. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I've been quite bruised from having such a public relationship in the past that it's like, I'm just like, trying to tread a little more carefully with that.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's just, I don't want someone that's just in my world all the time and in every aspect of my world. I kind of feel like I did that and I saw the positives and then I saw the negatives.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not over that yet. Stop. Yeah. So in time, he wants to come on for sure.
That's great.
We'll see. I think so. But like, I'm not doing it. I don't want to rush in. I know I don't want to rush in. I'm having a baby with this person, obviously.
But I don't know if we're ready for the podcast. Yeah. Like, that's going to take a while. You know?
But it's like, I'm like still navigating like what do I want to keep that's just for us and just private, and how much do I want to actually share this time with my audience?
I think there's something really beautiful about that though as well. And like, you know, you get to decide that and you get to go on that journey and not feel that pressure for it to be, you know, I think there is like a perception as well. Like, I know you both got like big Instagram followings, that just because you're on Instagram, like everything's shared on Instagram. And like, even I've experienced that where like I do share a lot. I am a very open book. Doesn't mean that everything that goes on in my life is shared on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, Instagram's like a 1% of your entire day and 1% of your entire life gets seen.
Mm.
So I think it's really beautiful getting to be in that energy of like, what is mine and what do I want to keep as mine and keep in this space?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do I want to share and when do I want to share it, you know?
Yeah. Does Stephen come on yours at all?
He refuses. I've tried so much, but I think it's kind of sexy that he refuses.
Yeah,
he's like,
he's
just like, he's like, you couldn't pay me enough to be on your podcast. I will not do it.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, I can get Kehlani, but I can't get my own husband to be on.
Oh my gosh.
But he's like such a behind the scenes, like, I don't want the attention. And I like that about him. That was what attracted me.
I feel that is a bit of a turn on actually as well.
Yeah. Like, I'm like trying so hard.
Please.
He's like the number one most requested guest. And he's just like, I won't do it.
Oh my god! I did not know this. It's hilarious.
Yeah, but it's true. It's like when you bring in your relationship or anything, any decision, pregnancy, starting a different business, leaving your business, it opens you up to so much projection. I mean, this could be a whole other conversation of like sometimes there is this entitlement of people feel like, oh, well, I'm subscribed to your show and this is how your show is going to be. And if I don't like the decisions that the character is making, like I have a right to say something. And it's like, no, bitch, it's my life.
Yeah,
you know?
Literally.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like choose. It actually is more work to show all of these different sides of your life than to just be like, oh, this is my business. This is what I put out in the world. This is my message. And it is that balance because, you know, people do want to know the person behind the screen and they do want to know you, but every single thing that you bring into the equation is giving people that access to making their decisions on whether it's right or wrong. And then that's your emotional labor to then deal with.
Yeah, it's so true. And I also find that like the more you share, bless you,
sorry,
the more, it's like the more you share, the more then people want.
Yes.
You know, I've really noticed that. Like if I let people into this aspect of my life a little bit, then there's like all these questions then that come and like, right. And so it's
like
it's
reality
changing.
TV.
But I also think in the coaching world, it's the guru thing, you know, people start to see people as gurus or as these perfect versions of people.
Yeah. The perfect relationship and the perfect diet and the perfect routines and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And where's the space for the human, you know, like where's the space for, we all fuck up. We're all imperfect. That's like one of the most innate principles of being human. We're not perfect.
Today I went on Clubhouse. I have not been on Clubhouse in so long, but I felt like singing karaoke. So I just went on Clubhouse and I just made a karaoke room and I was just like singing, bringing people on. And then I'm like, okay, there was like no one coming onto my Clubhouse. So then I went on Instagram Live and I was just like bringing people on singing. And I'm just like, this is what I feel like doing. Like this is my true expression.
Fun.
So it's like you can also be yourself without it being like, here's what's happening in my life and here's the information of just like, okay, if we were hanging out, this is probably how we would hang out because I'm always saying,
also, you know? I'm so grateful you told this story because you've explained so much to me right now because I got a notification earlier on my phone. I haven't been on Clubhouse for ages.
That was me saying,
and
I'm never like, gonna dance again.
It said Sahara Rose is doing karaoke. I was like,
no
rhythm.
That
I clicked
is brilliant.
On it. I missed it and I tried to scroll through.
You should have joined because no one was joining my room.
I would have, honestly, it's so funny. Like the first night without Jake in the apartment, I had a glass of wine and I got the YouTube on karaoke,
like,
YouTube karaoke on the big screen.
Since you've been gone.
I did Les Mis, I did Disney, and I was like, and then I think the wine went to my head because I was like, oh my God, I'm going to do a series of reels where I'm singing Disney lyrics and making it related to business stories.
Stop.
Subscribe.
That's a genius idea.
Honestly, I was like, is this genius or is this the wine now talking?
Both. I would have liked to see those reels.
Okay, maybe I'll have a Sunday wine session with karaoke and make some reels.
Like, what are some examples?
Yeah, did you get any examples?
So like, A Whole New World. I was like, it could be like, a whole new, and it's going to be like a whole new world when you leave 9 to 5 and you realize this is whole new world. And then I had, what's the Ariel song? Like,
Part of Your World.
Part of Your World. And it was, what was I going to do for that? I think it was about an abundance thing though.
I want to be where the people are. I want to see you dancing.
But, oh no, it was about the bit where she says she's got all this stuff.
I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty.
And it was like the idea of going beyond that and like what's actually important. Like you can have all the things, but like what's true abundance to you?
I want more.
Yes,
okay, I want more. Like I want more internally.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
You see, you're on
the vibe. I'm seeing the vision. I think you should do it.
Okay, well.
You said it on the podcast also. Okay. Everyone will know that it came from a drunken wine night.
Classic.
Oh, amazing. Well, guys, this has been a pleasure. I love you both so dearly.
Love you both so much. So much.
So grateful for this.
So grateful.
It's like the end of Friends, you know? Like,
no,
you're amazing.
It's not the end. Wait, which character is it that has a baby and moves? Is it Rachel and Ross?
Yeah,
at the end.
Which obviously you would be Rachel.
But then Rachel, but then she comes back, doesn't she? Doesn't she end up coming back or something?
Raise the kids with
the very last episode we're talking about.
Yeah, he like goes to the airport.
And then they, what? I don't remember that.
Am I getting this confused?
No, maybe.
I don't remember.
I thought the last episode she's like leaving to the airport and then Ross goes after her.
To make their relationship work.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that, oh.
I was basically trying to manifest that you come
I think
back
they
to
probably left her on a cliffhanger. They probably left her on a cliffhanger. So, but I mean, I don't know how long I'm going to be in Austin. Who knows?
No, I hope you're.
Who knows?
I know you'll
life
be
has a plan.
happy then. I'm so happy that you're going to be supported by community.
Well, and you'll both be there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Visiting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know you said it's going to be a podcast studio, but I'll just be like, hey.
This is Alex's room.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Love Thank you both. For having us.
So, my loves, I hope that you loved that episode. If you did, please do share it on Instagram. I would love to see your story tags of you listening to the episode. We love to hear which episodes you guys have loved the most. Please also make sure that you leave us a juicy review on Apple, iTunes, or the podcast app, because that means so much to me and it really helps this podcast spread far and wide. So thank you so much for listening. I love you. I hope your week is filled with love, sex, and magic, and I'll see you next time.